Welcome to the Living Spiritfully podcast, Come Alive edition. Here are your hosts for today, Paul Galoro and Catherine Stilo.
Welcome everyone to the Living Spiritfully podcast. It's the Come Alive edition. Catherine and I are in the middle of a conversation, so we decided we're just going to hit record and jump in. First of all, Catherine, you look gorgeous. How you doing?
Oh my God, thank you. I'm doing really well. This weather that we have been blessed with is just incredible. And I also have to say that you look gorgeous because we were just talking about your shirt. And I know that our audience cannot see this shirt, but it is beautiful. It's got red, glorious flowers all over it. And it's just, I felt alive looking at it.
So. Thank you. I felt alive putting it on this morning, and that's why I did it. But we have so much that we're going to talk about. We're right now in the middle of a conversation. So a couple of days ago, it was the full moon lunar eclipse in Taurus, the close to eclipse season. And we were just talking about the eclipse itself. And I was telling you how we saw it. You weren't able to see it because of the cloud coverage where you live. But then I was also sharing, so everyone that's listening, just to bring you up to speed. So the eclipse happened early in the morning on a Tuesday. Tuesday evening, I'm out walking my dog, and I can see in the horizon, the moon start to rise above the lake. And I was like, oh my God, let's go. So I grab my dog, we run, because we were on the path, get to the lake, and there was these two women there. We're taking pictures with their phone, and they like, I was like, oh my God, ladies, what do you think? And they were like, we were just amazed by it. And this other woman comes on her bike, she stops, and she's like, oh my God. And all of us were just there in amazement of the beautiful moon. Cause I don't know if anyone, like listeners, if you've never seen the moon rise, Google, when is the full moon gonna rise? I'll give you a hint. It's usually at the same time that the sun is setting, the full moon, but watch it come up over the horizon, because it is like, Catherine, how would you even describe? I can't even, it's like, it doesn't even look real. It looks like it. First of all, it's 150,000 times the size of what we normally see the moon. It's a different color. It just looks amazing. And it was that pure amazement, and this is what I had mentioned to Catherine, which, you know, triggered me to want to start recording this message. We as human beings aren't fascinated about nature enough. It's in us, but I don't, like, nowadays we don't do it enough. You know what I mean? We don't lift our faces up from our screens long enough to see the beauty that is right there. Yeah. And it was just so cool how it brought four complete strangers. I've never seen these other three humans in my life before, but it brought four complete strangers together for that moment to look at the beauty of the moon rise in complete awe. It was just amazing.
Oh yeah. The only words that I can use to describe these types of events is magic. It's magic. Mm-hmm. Or as close to magic as I know. Mm-hmm. These are the things that unite us all. This fascination with nature, which somewhere along the line we forgot or lost. This fascination with nature. And this fascination with nature is the very thing that helps us find our own aliveness, because it's the thread that connects us. I feel alive witnessing it. You explained the feeling of the connection with other people and their aliveness, mm-hmm. witnessing it. We're really, none of us are strangers. We're just friends that don't know each other yet.
Exactly.
We're all the same. We all are motivated by the same things. We're all illuminated by the same thing. And I mean, there's variations and little nuances of the things and the talents and the whatever that brings us to life. But at the core, the fundamental things that bring us to life are all the same. Mm-hmm. That creative force is in all of us, and nature is that reflection of that creative force, so that we can witness it, so that we can be reminded of that fascination and that aliveness. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're all seeds of some sort.
Yes.
And it's the same, and like you were saying, it's that same creative force that pulses through all of us that then grows that seed into whatever it's meant to be. This seed is, this acorn is going to be an oak tree. This seed is going to be a rose. This seed is going to be a apple tree. All these different seeds, but it's that same creative force that flows through. So to your point where you're saying we all come alive from the same thing or by the same thing. Which is just amazing.
I thought of something else listening. We're all alive. It's just how much is that aliveness dialed up in us, and how much is it hidden, and what things trigger that aliveness to awaken. And so, you know, sometimes it's seeing other people and their aliveness, and it stirs in us, and that creative force comes to life. Sometimes it's natural events like a full moon rising, like a lunar eclipse, like a sunrise, like whatever it is that awakens that that essence in us. So,
absolutely. Which, I mean, this is the perfect segue, I think, to get into the conversation that we wanted to have originally on our episode. So last week, or last time we met, we talked about how do you come alive? And then this week, we thought it would be an interesting topic to discuss. What are the barriers to coming alive? Because what I just heard you say, you know, when we see someone else full of life, and we see that spark of life in them, one of two things can happen within us. And I think it really depends on what is our baseline. If our baseline is fear-based thinking, we're going to see that expression of life and feel something not so good about watching somebody else glow, to the point where, depending on how deep we are in our fear-based thinking, we may actually want to stifle that light. It's too bright. Somebody should stop that immediately. Who does that person think they are? ... Or on the other side, so what is not love is a call to love. That's fear-based thinking. So then love is the other side of that. And when we see somebody else come to life, or when we see these natural expressions of beauty, it inspires us, but it also celebrates that which is bursting forth from the other person. Because for me to celebrate someone else's success, I'm going to use the word success, but for me to celebrate somebody else's blossoming is just me celebrating my own blossoming that's coming through another person, because every other human being in our life, and listen, as I'm speaking this, I mean, I know I'm talking to myself as well to remind myself, because I have some situations where I'm not so loving in my thoughts towards other people. So I need to remember this, that every person in our lives is a reflection of ourselves in some way. There's the one of two choices. Is our reaction to somebody else glowing, you know, beaming full of light, is it coming from a place of fear or a place of love?
Oh my gosh, there's so much to unpack in that. It's how much can I access my own aliveness? And when I realize, or I'm in that phase, and I've been there too, where I can't access my own aliveness, and then seeing that out in the world can feel like a threat, or I interpret it as that I am lesser than, because I'm in a phase where I can't access my own aliveness. And so the discussion flow about everyone else is a reflection of us, that is something that I was a game changer in my life to coming alive. And I really had a difficult time when I first learned that. In fact, when I first learned that in its essence, that lesson, I was like, no, that's not true. Like that's, I'm, you know, right. It's, I rejected it outright. The way that I originally heard it was, I am the source. I own my results. And it was basically, that was from a course I took, Extraordinary Learning. And that's how it was phrased. And I knew there was a nugget of truth in it because it landed. And at the same time, I was like, yeah, but you know, there's these situations where like, no, that like, it's not true. It is. And as soon as we recognize that, or as soon as I recognize this and absolutely took it for truth in every situation, I did recognize that everyone is a mirror or a teacher or an mm-hmm. illuminator in some way for me. And I think early on I interpreted as, if I see something I like out there, it's in me and that's why I'm drawn to it. Or if I see something I don't like, then it's also in me and that's why. But I started to realize what the nuance was. It's not necessarily that what I don't like that I'm seeing is in me. What I'm seeing is triggering something in me that's pointing to something that I need to work on. So right, because mm-hmm. and maybe if I get more specific, this might help clarify. So I have big things with integrity. Like I have big expectations of myself to always be in integrity and that other people are acting in integrity. So when I encountered behaviors that were not that, that's where I had trouble, because I was like, I don't understand how that's a mirror, because that I don't feel, but I mean, but it, yeah, anyway, I don't feel that that's how I behave for the most part. Mm-hmm. I'm, you know, or I strive to be 100% in integrity. And of course I'm human, so it's not always that way. But then I understood that it's like, no, it's not necessarily that the thing that I'm seeing is in me. It's the thing that I'm seeing is showing me something that I need to look at. So, you know, if disparaging remarks or being dismissed, those are all my own feelings. They have nothing to do with behaviors.
Right.
They're within me, where I don't feel confident enough in myself to just let it roll or to laugh at it or yeah. So that's you know, in our conversation of barriers to coming alive, I think there was some time in my life where I did think that it was other people that mm-hmm. that was why my excuse for why I can't come alive. Oh, it's because this person's putting me down, or that person, or, you know, this person's not supporting me and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, that's because I'm not supporting myself. That's right. Where I need to turn inward and look. It's like got nothing to do. You know, I don't know if you've had any experience where in at any time in your life where you thought it was other people that was the barrier to why you couldn't come alive.
Oh, totally. And then, or I thought it was one other person, and then it was another person that a similar situation happened, and then another. And I was like, you're all wrong. It's not me. But let's be honest, the common denominator was me. What you just said there reminds me of something that, so Dr. Patricia Rennie was our guest on Heart to Heart last week. And she's my naturopath. And one of the things I remember saying, or her saying to me once, was, I was in her office, I was crying about something, I'm sure. And she said, when are you going to take responsibility for your life? And that made me, like, that flashed into my mind just as you're speaking now about, you know, constantly seeing that, oh, it's this person that's my barrier to coming alive, or this person is causing this rage within me. But really, if we take responsibility, it's not that person that's making me feel that way. It's not that person that's making me do those things. It's my reaction to what has happened. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, the word trigger came to mind, the word activation came to mind. It's something about the situation or the interaction that has activated something in me, be it something that's from my own life, this life, something that's from a past life, something that's from my lineage, something that is within me that needs addressing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Another thing that comes to mind in our discussion of this, you know, what are the barriers to coming alive? I love Rumi, the poet Rumi, and some of the quotations just land very deeply in my heart. And I came across one recently that that says, "Your task is not to seek for love, but to merely seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it."
Mm. Yes.
And that answers our question about the what are the barriers to coming alive. It's like, it's not to seek coming alive, it's to seek finding what have we placed in front of ourselves, within ourselves, mm-hmm. that aren't allowing that aliveness to flourish and blossom.
Right, right. That quote is pretty much sums up a lesson, for lack of a better word, in A Course in Miracles. Because A Course in Miracles, the whole idea behind it is to dismantle the thought system, the ruling thought system of the world, which is fear-based, and remember the truth of who we are, which is love. And so love, with the Rumi quote, your task is not to seek for love, but to seek the barriers that you've built against it. We are love. That's just natural, but we've built these walls, or we've shifted and shaped ourselves in a way to not be a full expression of that. And we are that, therefore, like, that's unchangeable, that love within us. We just have to shift those things that are blocking us from being that full expression. All those belief systems that block the love from coming in.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, it ain't easy. But it also is the way.
Oh my gosh. It is the way, and it is not easy. And I think of I through my life have had to work on fear. Like, there, I do have a lot of fear within me. I've had this since I was a kid. As I examined it and unpacked it, I do believe that there's something that has come through my lineage that has contributed to why, because I started examining my own life and I'm like, I don't understand why I'm feeling like this, because I have nothing in this lifetime that would contribute to feeling this way. So for a long time, I was like almost beating myself up, because it's like, you have no reason to feel this way. Like, why are, like, it was all that self-talk about mm-hmm. why these feelings were not acceptable. And then as I started to understand and explore it, it's like, wow, okay, I think there's something in my lineage, my direct lineage. I think there's, you know, there's also something in the collective lineage that is also coming through. Anyway, that's to say that I think of how many times the self-talk in my own head has prevented me from actually taking the step or putting that creative endeavor or expression out there, because I've already censored it and thought, oh, it's not good enough. It's not, or this is stupid, and people are going to think this is dumb, and they're going to laugh at you, and like that little voice that comes through. And when I think about it, I'm like, oh my God, like, what if I just didn't listen to that voice and just did it? And then I sometimes think, like, like all these great works that are revered, you know, like the great works of music, the great works of art, like what if Michelangelo or Picasso was like, oh, I'm not going to do it, because people are going to we're not going to like this. And think of how many things we're not going to have because somebody did that. And so I you know, I look at myself and laugh and think, just do it, and don't sabotage it before it's done, before the creativity is even done.
Exactly. What also happens is we do pick up a lot of beliefs from our parents, who picked it up from their parents, who picked it up from their parents, etc. And I remember having a conversation with a friend, and I could tell this triggered them because of their situation. But the relationships that we see growing up will shape our mind and our perception and show up in how we relate to others later on in life and in our adult relationships. And regardless of if, you know, regardless of what the situation, whether you believe, like if you saw the stuff and you believe that, yeah, that's fine, that's okay, or you believe against it, it still comes up in your awareness. And it's like the thoughts that we have, they create a vibration. You know, we're always talking about vibration, but it creates, so the way I kind of see it, you know, the visual of like radio waves, you see like an antenna, radio tower, and then like that ripple. It's like all of our minds have that. So if the primary caregivers in our lives, their minds are rippling these energies out, the very susceptible, is that the word? But the very young, impressionable minds of the children that are around there are picking up that, and that is tuning the frequency. So it's like you tune the frequency, and then that's how the child picks up those belief systems, and then it shows up when they're in school, just being their joyful self. And then all of a sudden there's this voice in their head saying, oh, everyone's going to make fun of you, or everyone's going to laugh at you. Don't do that. Don't be that full expression. But because that has come from somewhere else. And if that's not present, then I believe that wouldn't be there. But if it is present, I mean, it doesn't mean it's going to be present there forevermore. It just makes it more challenging once you're an adult to undo those and to reprogram the frequency to be of a higher vibration.
Absolutely. There are several sources that I've read, and you know, I've read them, and they've illuminated a truth within myself. So when I look at things, I don't just accept it as like, well, that's the truth because I read it somewhere. It's mm-hmm. like, oh, that's interesting. And then, you know, a few sources say that, and I try it on to see if it fits. So that idea of, I actually heard this recently, that the mind, or whatever we want to label it. And I hope that people can accept the essence of this and not the specifics, but, you know, if we call it mind or third eye or whatever we're calling it, that is the receiver and transmitter. And then I also heard and felt that the heart is a projector or a generator. So we've got, so this body, this, and you know, body, when we say body, there's so many layers. There's physical, mental, emotional, energetic, like, you know, wisdom, whatever layers of our being, because we're so many dimensions. We are this receiver and the transmitter, and then we are the projector that then creates reality out.
Mm-hmm. And bringing it back to A Course in Miracles for a second, thought creates form on some level. I know our audience has heard me say that many times. Thought creates form on some level. So going back to the, what did you say that the mind was again? It was two things.
The receiver, transmitter.
Yes. So the transmitter, it's like transmitting that vibration, and then that vibration is being created in our lives in some form. And when I say like thought creates form on some level, it can create something physical. Like we could have, thoughts that are like lack, right? So then they could create lack. Lack is a form of something, not having something, but it could also create beliefs that then shape our relationships that leave us in certain ways, right?
Yeah.
And so that's a form.
Yeah.
It's not something, it's tangible, but it's not like you can't touch your relationship, but you can see how it plays out if you look at the pattern.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's the tangibility of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And looping it back to, you know, being impressionable at a young age and absorbing the beliefs and behaviors of our parents and then modeling those and mimicking those out. There's a couple places I'm going to go with this. So one of the big insights that I had was the pattern is the pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So however I received love or whatever my model of love was, I'm going to model that. And we probably have talked about this in many conversations, totally. In some form. I'm going to model that, and I'm going to model it in the way that I set up my love relationships. And I'm going to also model it in the way that I give love. And this is why we say, oh, you become your parents. It's like, well, it's not that you become your parents. You become the model of love, that of giving and receiving love that you witnessed. Mm-hmm. So there's that in this whole loop of what are our barriers to coming alive. And then, and this was a big realization for me, it may not have even been in my life, it may have been events in my grandparents' lives when my parents were young and impressionable or in utero that also affected and impacted what I'm working through. Some of the barriers that I'm working through within myself are unconscious that have come down through lineage. Hmm. And to get specific, because I think sometimes getting specific helps, and this is not to this isn't saying that, oh, this happened in my lineage, so like it's not blame. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I'm a victim of this. This is something I need to recognize, because this is something I'm going to need to sort through and clear out in some way, in whichever way I choose to clear it out, whether it's body movement or whether it's plant medicine or whether it's talk therapy. There's so many ways to clear these things out once we become aware of them. But a couple incidents that I heard, and this is why it's so important to share stories, to have our parents and our grandparents talk about the things that happened to them. So I found out that my grandfather on my dad's side was a prisoner of war, and the phrase was for a very long time. And I was like, oh gosh, well that just explains like so many things of the possible origin of feelings that I have in my life. And then I found out some things on my mother's side about events that happened in their childhood, where my mother may not have even been born. I heard this from my uncles, and it was saying how afraid they felt as children because of things that were going on. And I was like, oh my God, well, that was in my grandmother when my mother was in utero. Well, that's maybe where that fear is coming from, is something that got passed through. And then another one, and I've, you know, been seeing this manifested in my own life and in some of my relatives as well, that my grandfather passed away when my mother was 2 weeks old. And it was because he got, and I'm fuzzy on the details, but it was something about a cow had gone into a pond and was drowning, and he needed to save the cow, and he got wet and cold, and then he got pneumonia, and then he passed away. So I watched my own life about this fear of getting ill, becoming ill. I was always afraid that I would get ill and I wouldn't be able to write my exams in university, or I would get ill and I wouldn't be able to perform if there was some event or some big presentation or some performance. And I was like, this is like, it was a seemingly completely irrational fear. I'm like, where did this come from? This is like just here, and I'm working with it, and it was one of the barriers that was preventing me from becoming alive, because I kept tripping over it or bumping against it, and until I understood its potential or possible origin, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, okay, well, you know, if I go back to my mom in utero or as a very, very small baby, my grandmother would have been very afraid about, I hope my grandfather doesn't get sick, or I hope this baby doesn't get sick. Like that, mm-hmm. that programming would have been there, and right. maybe is like now in the DNA, in the lineage mm-hmm. of that.
Definitely. I remember reading a study, and the details are going to be fuzzy, but it was somewhere along the lines of, if a mother while pregnant experiences a stressful situation or traumatic experiences, and that trauma could be physical, mental, emotional, it could be anything, the increase in cortisol in the mother's body has an effect on the baby, which can lead to certain things happening for the baby down the line. That being said, I mean, that kind of gives us, I think, a little insight into how like things are passed down. That's one way that we can see it's passed down. So really, really fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And again, we're not saying, both of us, I'm sorry, I'm speaking for you as well, but it's not to say that I'm a victim of this and right. I can't. This is to say that I recognize that this is something that I need to work through in order to clear that barrier of becoming alive.
Absolutely. And the way I see, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but the way I see our conversation is also like, this too is a possibility. So if you've tried other avenues to sort out your stuff and have maybe not had the most success or find that you're stuck on something, this could be a possibility and maybe a direction that you explore. And I know for myself, just the stuff that we're talking about, when I started to realize, oh, wait a second, this isn't necessarily me. Like where you were saying, like, there's so many things in my life where I thought I was the reason, I was the cause. But once I started to realize, oh, this isn't me, so I don't need to feel ashamed of this, because, you know, shame, guilt is I did something bad, shame is I am something bad, right? So I no longer have this shame. I can sense this feeling of guilt, but I've stepped back from it, and I see it for what it is, that it doesn't affect me as much, right? It shifted my relationship with that feeling or that thought or that, you know, thing, which then created shifts within me.
Yeah. As we change our inner world, we change our outer world.
Exactly.
And that's where the power lies within. And we can't look outside and say, well, I want to change the world, if we're not going deep within and changing within ourselves. And I was thinking of, you know, several of the things that we've said in this conversation about if that, you know, whether we call it the pineal gland or third eye or mind, whatever, if that is a true receiver transmitter, it's like, what is your dial tuned into? And it may be tuned into something because of something that's happened in this particular life, this iteration of the energy that is Catherine, that is Paul. It may be something that has happened in the lineage of the energy that is Catherine, that is Paul. It also may be that our dial for some reason is tuned in to the collective experience or something that has happened in the collective, or even though, so these, the specific examples that I gave were from my lineage, with a grandfather being a prisoner of war, with another grandfather passing away because of an illness. That is out there in the collective. So even though it's not someone else's specific experience, that dial, someone's dial may be tuned in to that because everything that has ever happened to anybody is in this collective. And we're all dialed in various forms and picking it up in various forms and have a role to play in clearing it out. And so we may be picking up something that isn't even our own, but we have the particular skills or vibration that, when we encounter it, we'll be the one to be able to clear it out.
I mean, how did this conversation even happen? Like, that was all of this stuff. That wasn't in my notes.
Oh my gosh.
How amazing.
Oh my gosh. Well, this is the, we get in the spaceship and we just,
yeah, that's it.
We go, right? Right. And I think back to, how did this conversation start? And again, it was one of the ones that we were just having friends, because we talk all the time, you know, not just for podcasts, we're talking all the time. And it was talking about our experiences with our high vibes Octobers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and the observations that come from changing up our routines from so I don't do you want to go there, because it was
yeah,
you sharing your experience about what you noticed within yourself, mm-hmm, happening during that time. So
yeah, for sure. Well, it was the high vibe October. Then I spoke about this the other week on in Mind Body Misfits about that rage that came up, because I was talking about how bioenergetics really helped me to discharge that. And it was High Vibe October, where we in the Living Spirit Fully Collective, we all made some changes, tried to avoid or lessen the amount of things that we do that we know is stifling our aliveness, and do more of the things that raise our vibration and make us feel alive. And so from the things that I was not engaging in mostly was food, because I was also doing a cleanse at the time. And so I didn't have the foods that I normally, or not even just the foods, but the substances and the other things that I generally use to stuff down any of the feelings that I don't want to feel, right? Because it hurts too much, or it's just too heavy, or I'm exhausted and I don't want to deal with it, right? And so all of that stuff had come up once I stopped stuffing it down with more weight, right? So the way I kind of see it is all those things, the Nutella, and listen, there's nothing wrong with these things, but the way that I was using them was not beneficial for me. But the Nutellas and the sugars and the, lack of movement and the, just all of that stuff, it creates like layer over layer over layer over layer that stuffs whatever that feeling is underneath. And that feeling, underneath that feeling, is what makes me come alive, right? What makes us all come alive. And so the visual that I have in my mind is like that aliveness was there. Then there was that feeling that I didn't want to feel or address or acknowledge. And I stuffed everything on top of it, created huge layers. Once I stopped adding on top of those layers, the layers got softer, weaker, if you will. They weren't as heavy. But the force underneath that was pushing up against that stuff was getting stronger. And so that pushed everything out of the way. The rage came out. Once the rage came out through movement, because there was no amount, and I mentioned this in the episode a couple of weeks ago, there was no amount of positive affirmation or prayer or talk therapy that would have moved this the way I needed to move it, right? Because it was imprinted in my physical body. Because I was doing a physical cleanse, but anyways, so that thing erupted. And then once that thing erupted, life started to flow again. Creativity came back. My joy was back. My face lit up again. I started to wear my flowery shirts, and you know, so it's like that life came back. And now I do the things to not stuff it down again. I mean, yeah, they're habits, right? So we talked about those ditches. Those ditches sometimes are deep. They're habits. We keep on going into them if we're not mindful, but a habit is basically something that we do over and over again. So if I mindfully don't stuff it down, if I do the things that will allow me to express it, whether it is through movement or journaling or talking about it, etc., the more I do them, the less there is stuffing those feelings down, and I can feel them. And then once they're felt, they move. Yeah. They're gone. They move on to the next thing out of me and
yeah,
back into yeah, the ethers.
Yeah. Those feelings are the aliveness. Mm-hmm. Those feelings are the aliveness. Somewhere along the line, we've either been programmed or accepted the beliefs that there are some emotions that are just not acceptable or bad. And the reality is that all emotions are valid. They're all part of our aliveness. Mm-hmm. And it's something, when I'm experiencing those emotions, it's pointing to something that needs addressing. either a boundary has been crossed, or I'm fearing a loss of something, or whatever it is, that is a sensation. A feeling is a sensation that is telling me something's off here. So it's the same as if and we talk about in our movement classes, if you're moving and if we're moving and it's hurting, like you don't do it because you're right. Like, oh God, I'm going to hurt myself because that doesn't. But it's funny that when it comes to the emotional body, it's like, I'm just going to ignore that. Like, I just am going to stuff that down. And, yeah. You know, and then sometimes it's that we don't have the tools to know how to work through this. Mm-hmm. Those emotions, and so we stuff them down with TV watching, numbing, you know, our minds. And again, these are not bad, we're not bad, it's just how we're using them and being aware, because there's times where it's just like, I just can't deal, or I've had a day where it's like, I've just done so much, I just need to tune out and like watch something and just kind of be fed. I'm fully aware though of what I'm doing when I'm doing that. It's like, you know what? I'm going to do this and I'm aware of it. So I'm using it in a way that I'm aware of what's happening, but it's when we do it, like you said, unconsciously, and it's to stuff things down. And if we're stuffing things down and we're labeling certain feelings or emotions as bad or unacceptable, we're choking our aliveness because we can't do that. We can't say some are acceptable and I'm going to express them and some aren't, and I'm going to stuff them down or choke them out, because if we do that, we end up doing that for all of them. You end up not feeling anything. And then those amazing creative works that are supposed to come out can't come out because we're stuck and it's locked in the body in the form of tension, in the form of rigidity. And
it's like there's a queue, like a line of creative, or like I'm gonna think of a different word because that word could be misunderstood, but there's a line of feelings, a line of things that we need to feel, and there's that one that's next in line that we don't want to feel that then is blocking everything else underneath. So maybe we don't want to feel the rage that was triggered from something that happened.
Yeah.
Well, behind that rage is elation. Until you feel that, you can't feel the next thing. And behind elation is something else. And behind that, like, so it's like, we're meant to feel these things. And like you said, if we stuff down the, I'm using air quotes, bad, we're also stuffing down the air quotes good.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
It's flow.
Yeah.
And you can't selectively cut off the flow.
No.
Without cutting off the whole flow.
Right.
It's just, it needs to flow.
It's a garden hose. No matter what's flowing through that hose, if you kink it, nothing's going. Whether it's orange juice or it's water, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Interesting on another observation that I had about High Vibe October, because I was participating as well. Coming out of it, so this was an interesting thing to watch about myself. So coming out of it, I had eliminated my intake of coffee, eliminated my intake of alcohol. Coming out of it, I didn't want a coffee for, you know, and I just thought, well, I'm just, because I'm coming out of it, I'm not going to just jump right back into it because I can.
Yeah.
So I waited and I thought, well, I'll just wait until I actually would really enjoy a coffee with whatever I was having, whatever ritual I was doing. So I thought, well, I'll just wait. And so it ended up being a few days. And then there did come the day where it was like, you know, I think it was like a weekend breakfast. And I was like, well, you know what? A coffee would really be nice with this breakfast. And I watched myself, this little voice jumped in and is like, well, no, like, you don't want to have a coffee. Like, so it was, no, don't break your perfect record. Like, let's see how long we can go without it. But that behavior is also a barrier to coming alive. Right. Because then it's flipped from, you know, being being mindful with things to being rigid with things and to being perfectionistic with things. And then it goes into the energy of denial, denying myself mm-hmm. something that I would enjoy. Mm-hmm. So it was a funny moment for me to go, isn't this interesting that there is a midpoint, there's a balance point to not letting the thing be in control of me. Mm-hmm. And there is a balance point to not being fully in control of the thing so much that I deprive myself or deny my own enjoyment of something, right? Because both extremes of that spectrum are not aliveness.
Right.
So yeah, funny things.
Very, yes, very interesting. My gosh. Okay, so we need to watch the time because, you know, when we get into our spaceships, 3 hours feels like 3 minutes. So
oh, totally. Yeah.
I loved this conversation. Thank you so much. Before we get into OM work, was there anything else that you wanted to add?
There's one more, and this is something that I think is important to recognize, and it's remembering that we are empowered. We are the ones that have all of the answers inside. One of the barriers to coming alive is thinking that we have to outsource it to someone else, that someone else holds the answer or the key to coming alive. Someone else might hold a flashlight that can guide us or shine a light to the thing that's in us. But that I wanted to touch on that one, because that through my life too has been one of the barriers I noticed to coming alive, is thinking that someone outside myself, whatever you want to call it, guru or expert or whatever, held the ticket, the key, and without them I could not come alive. And that's just, I just wanted to dispel that myth.
Yeah. Okay, can we have an entire conversation about that? Like, sure. Let's going to be an episode where we talk about that, because there's so many places I can go with that, being somebody who for the longest time was searching for those things and putting my belief in other people that, oh, they know the answer better than I do. Yeah. And once I have to say how revealing 2020 and the events of 2020 and 2021 were for me, revealing where I had disempowered myself. And it was very empowering where I yanked all that stuff back. I mean, I willingly gave them that, but then I yanked it back and I said, nope, this is mine. I got to know it a little bit more intimately and fell in love with it. And that's now what's driving me. So I mean, can we save that for another conversation?
Oh my gosh. This is how this podcast started in the first place.
Exactly.
Right? We started having a conversation and went, wait, that was a nugget. Can we do a follow-up? And then it was like, when we're doing the follow-up, it's like, wait, there's 12 nuggets here that we really need full episodes. So
yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Like that is that maybe was a very rich topic to kind of throw
in right at the end. I love it though. But this is Catherine and Paul in a nutshell. This exactly. has come alive. So why don't we do this? Listeners, go to livingspiritfully.com. If you haven't already joined the Living Spiritfully Collective, join the collective and get in on this conversation. Let us know what you think about if you're willing to share some of your barriers to coming alive, what is standing in your way? And let's talk about it, because like Catherine, like you said a moment ago, just flashing, sometimes just putting the flashlight on that thing helps us dismantle it. And what I love about in A Course in Miracles, it says, fear isn't the opposite of love, because love is everything that is, and everything that's all encompassing doesn't have an opposite. Fear is the absence of love. Mm-hmm. And so just remembering that. So go to livingspiritfully.com, join the Living Spiritfully Collective if you haven't already. If you have, log in there, find the post for this episode, and join in the comments. Let us know, what are your barriers to coming alive?
Or if anything that has resonated, something that we've said resonates on a deep level, comment on that. And you know, just a word of encouragement, sharing something that I've learned, sharing these things illuminates it for all of us. So
yes.
Paul and I may read it and say, oh my God, like, I need to look at that too, or I never even thought of that. So mm-hmm. it's, you know, this is the richness of a community.
Yes.
In supporting each other in this elimination.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for that part, Catherine, because that's really what the Living Spirit Fully Collective is all about.
Wow. What a conversation this has been.
Right. Oh my gosh. This is what happens when the two of us get into our spaceship. So join the Living Spirit Fully Collective at livingspiritfully.com. And remember, we are meant to thrive. How do you come alive?
Spiritfully Podcast is a Spiritful production. Executive producer, Paul Galoro. Co-producers, Claudia Miko and Catherine Stilo. A big thank you and much love to you, the Living Spiritfully community, for liking, subscribing, sharing, and supporting this podcast.